Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, and I'm not with Greg Pickle today, but with our buddy T. Frank Carr. T. Frank, thanks for filling in.
Absolutely. You know, I had to fill in for Ross a couple weeks ago. Now I'm filling in for Greg. I got some big shoes to fill on this show, so I'm going to try and not mess it up.
I hope you do not mess it up, and you're right. There is a lot of pressure, so
Literally and figuratively, Greg is a big dude, too. Greg is like over 6 feet tall. He's a big dude, so I got to fit my size 10s into this spot.
That's exactly it, and trust me, our listeners will let us know, T. Frank. So hang in there, do your best, while Greg Pickle is on assignment. Isn't that what we're supposed to say in the industry, T. Frank? He's on assignment?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go with that. And T. Frank, if you haven't heard me say this before, I'm going to say it again and again. T. Frank does these absolutely fantastic videos on a YouTube channel called For the Blogging. Just go to YouTube, or even easier, if you have our app, there's a button there. Hit that button and you could get some absolutely great videos, especially the scouting reports that T. Frank does. They're fantastic. And they usually prompt my segment ideas for our show, T. Frank. I just plagiarize, steal what you did already. So
it's promotion. Let's call it promotion.
Okay, that's the better word. We're promoting the videos that T. Frank does, and he did.
Luckily, I don't have to do any extra work, so it's great. I just sit down and talk about what I already did. This is perfect.
we're here to make it easy for you, T. Frank. That's our goal. So let's start with the video that you did where you had what you called five make or break guys for Penn State for this upcoming season. And it was a really interesting list. We're going to do the countdown. We're going to start with number five, work our way to the number one make or break guy. T. Frank, do you think our audience would be able to guess who that number one guy is?
Well, yeah, as long as you think for about 10 seconds, you'll be able to figure out who the number one most important player on the roster might be.
I'm going to give our audience credit, T. Frank. I don't even think it'll take them 10 seconds, but we're going to hold off on that name. We will count down to get there. So let's start with your guy that you have, number five, and that's wide receiver Keandre Lambert-Smith. He came in as a true freshman last year, saw some playing time. What did you see from Lambert-Smith, and why do you think he's so critical, T. Frank?
So coming into the class, I think to compare the two, I was much higher on Parker Washington because of what I had seen from him on film, and I thought he was a really dynamic player. But after watching Keandre Lambert-Smith last season, I see why people liked him and were talking about him more than Parker Washington because of the size and the frame, and he's got that long stride and that big play ability. So he's got kind of the X receiver build, and he's got that, you know, number one receiver type of game. Just somebody stepping up in that role when you've got Jahan Dotson, who is your number one but doesn't have your typical body type of a number one receiver, and then Parker Washington, your do-it-all player that I think is going to be used in a lot of different ways. I don't think he's just going to be a slot receiver. I think they're going to give him the ball on jet sweeps and handoffs and things like that. So you need a guy who's going to be a primary receiver, and Keandre Lambert-Smith is the guy on the roster that has the talent and is already currently, you know, in the program, because there's a couple of guys that are coming this summer that are freshmen, but then you're back at square one waiting for a freshman, and we saw what kind of gamble that can be last year with Keandre Lambert-Smith. So somebody securing that number three boundary receiver role is an important thing, and we've seen, I think, what we need to out of Daniel George and Cam Sullivan Brown. So the high-end variance is kind of what I look at in a lot of these, and that's the guy that I think is the needs to step up for the complete sense of the Penn State offense, to have a complete offense in 2021.
I was a little surprised that you went with Lambert-Smith at wide receiver. I would have said Parker Washington, because I just absolutely love his upside. I think he's going to have a monster season. I loved his ability to run with the ball after the catch, which of course would lead you to also believe, you know, he'd be great on those jet sweeps and so on. Do you think it's possible that Lambert Smith could even overtake Parker Washington as the number two guy?
No, because I agree with you, but the reason that Parker Washington isn't on this list is because I'm expecting that. It's not that I don't believe, or I believe that Keandre Lambert Smith is going to have a better year. I'm counting Parker Washington as a guarantee. I saw enough, I saw enough last year that I'm expecting a big season from him. I thought there was so much that he did that went unnoticed because the ball didn't get to him enough times, because he was open and the ball wasn't thrown. So I'm super high on Parker Washington. And in this sense, what I'm saying is to have a complete offense of threats at each position. And that boundary receiver is important, because we've seen Penn State not have that boundary receiver and how it limits their offense for the last 3 years. Having a guy like Keandre Lambert Smith step up, to me, is important because, again, I feel like I know exactly what I'm getting from the other two, and having a third threat at the receiver position to kind of give balance is really important. That being said, I don't know that it's the most critical thing, because I think that their tight end position is super strong. You've got Brenton Strange, Tyler Warren, Theo Johnson. Again, a reason Tyler Warren isn't on this list is I want to give him honorable mention, but there are enough people on the Tyler Warren bandwagon already. So this is kind of like the, if you want to have the depth chart look right, Keandre Lambert Smith would be the guy that needs to step up.
Gotcha. But I do agree with you on Parker Washington. Love that guy. I think he's going to have a huge year. Next up, you have Charlie Ketcher, who obviously doesn't look like he's going to be a starting linebacker, but he's still critical to that position.
Yeah, and it's versatility here that's important to me. And so this, again, we've already profiled two guys that might have to step up this next fall if Jesse Luketa moves positions. And the guy, again, that's been on the roster longer and has more playing time, even if it's super limited, is Charlie Ketcher. And we've seen him over the course of multiple seasons play well in coverage and have box versatility. I think he's a little undersized, and that's a problem to be a full-time Mike or Will linebacker, but he can definitely back up those positions and be the primary backup at the Sam position for Curtis Jacobs. So then it becomes a question of health, and it becomes a question of overall game for Charlie Ketcher. But if they do move Jesse Luketa, somebody has to step up, and the guy that's the veteran on the roster is Ketcher.
I would think that there, you may like the starting three at linebacker, but there is limited depth. So just the idea that Ketcher could play the multiple positions make him all the more valuable.
And he's shown, I think, above average play when he's on the field and good instincts. It's just he needs to stay healthy. He has not been able to stay healthy in his Penn State career.
Well, speaking of staying healthy, the next name on your list is Nick Tarburton at defensive end. This is another case where the position's been a bit depleted, and we've been hearing Tarburton's name quite a bit during the spring, but it's also a question of health there too, correct?
Yeah, and kind of like Keandre Lambert Smith, I did another video of kind of the deep sleepers on the roster, and this is kind of the mirror image of that. So Nick Tarburton, Smith Vilbert are two sides of the coin at the defensive end position, where Tarburton is the guy that we were talking to this spring. He's the presumed starter. He's the high floor sort of guy when it comes to he's a linebacker that switched positions. So we've seen a little bit of him over time. He's a good run defender. I think he'll have an understanding of the concepts and run schemes that are coming at him. So he's going to be a very good run defender, power pass rusher, but he doesn't have the length and size of Smith Vilbert, so he is the guy that's the starter, and he's the high floor guy to promote my own stuff, you know, is what we're doing.
Exactly.
In the deep sleeper video, I go into kind of the higher variance, higher ceiling guys, and I think Smith Vilbert might be in that conversation. But we're looking at the depth chart. The guy at the top of the depth chart at this position right now is Nick Tarburton. He's got to play well for Penn State to have a complete defensive line, because that strong side defensive end position is a major question mark with two guys that we don't know a whole lot about through youth and injury and position switches. So him playing that high floor, going to give you predictable solid snaps, is really important.
Do you see him starting ahead of, like, Adisa Isaac or Ibukete?
So those guys, I think, are going to be at the weak side defensive end position, and they're going to rotate there. In pass rushing situations, both those guys can be on the field, and you would take off Tarburton or Smith-Vilbert if he's not ready as a pass rusher yet, and then you would have those guys and then, you know, a three-tech or maybe one of them kicks inside to defensive tackle, and then you've got your pass rushing unit on the field. But when we're talking about base downs and we're talking about, you know, even-handed downs where it's like second and eight, something like that, I think you'll see Smith, you'll see Tarburton on the field. You won't see those two undersized guys on the field at the same time.
I'm glad you mentioned Smith-Vilbert. He's a guy that I like. Love that length for a defensive end. He's a 6'6 or so.
6'6, 260 already.
Not a bad size for a defensive end, correct?
Yeah, pretty much perfect. You want them all to look like that.
All right, let's get to number two on your list, which is Jair Brown. Now, this one I definitely buy in, make or break. We talked about him quite a bit during the spring as that guy who would step up and be the second safety along with Jaquan Brisker.
Yeah, and this is, to me, the situation about the number one guy we'll talk about is so obvious that to me the number one guy is Jair Brown, because it's the most critical spot on the depth chart where there isn't another answer, you know, outside of the obvious position that we're going to talk about later, because you've got Enzo Jennings, who is a true fresh or a redshirt freshman or a second-year player, whatever you want to call him. He's a boundary safety to me. He is much more like Jaquan Brisker, and Jonathan Sutherland is the same thing. So your high-end and your guys that have seen time on the roster don't fit that free safety mold. So then you've got Keaton Ellis, who's moved there and is dabbling there this spring. And you've got, I believe, Tyler Rudolph is the other guy. So you don't have anything outside of Jair Brown that, you know, when it comes to players with playing time, skill, and time at the position. So if he doesn't step up, there is a major problem. And you're going to have to do some serious reworking, maybe put Brisker at that free safety position sometimes just to give some alleviation to the problem. That's really the only solution you're going to have other than Jair Brown playing well.
Real quick, what's the differentiation with the free safety and the other safety?
So in the Penn State defense, they play sides of the field. So the short side of the field is the boundary, and the field side is the longer side on the hash marks. The free safety plays on the field side. It has more slot versatility. You might see them playing in man coverage over the slot where the boundary safety comes down and plays run support in the box.
Very good, T. Frank. Oh, no, we're out of time. We didn't get to number one. We will, though, in segment two. We reserved all of quarter two for the number one guy. Stay tuned for that.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.